will heaven be like? You ever thought, what will heaven be like? I've been thinking about it for the last couple, a good month. And most time in our pop culture, heaven is portrayed as boring. You know, it's people with harps. How many of you can play harp? You know, people in the clouds, you know, people with angels. Not too exciting. I want you to know that heaven is out of this world, and it'll be greater than you ever imagined. More people get excited about avoiding hell than they're eager about going to heaven. Picture your best day ever. Picture your best family day ever. You know, yesterday I played football with the boys and my two grandsons, and they thought I was an awesome quarterback. And another part, I wasn't sore today. And I threw at least 20 touchdowns. And, you know, your best day ever. Think about it, your sweetest prayer time, or your greatest time in the Bible, or your greatest time serving, helping, caring for somebody. Your greatest time singing, huh? When we were at the conference, 10,000 singers. I'm not one of them. But 10,000 singers singing the old hymns and the new hymns was like being in heaven. It was, wow! Tears flowing down my face. This is awesome. I want you to know that if we can have that here on this earth, heaven is going to be a billion times better. And it won't have any taint of sin or aging. You know, we're going to be surrounded by amazing things and dazzling pictures and wowing us for eternity. It's like snorkeling. You ever gone snorkeling? Snorkeling is beautiful. Man, alive under the water is something else, isn't it? I trust you've been there. And you look, and especially if you're in the ocean, you're looking, and you see these beautiful fishes or coral, whatever, reefs. And then all of a sudden you say, that's wonderful. And you turn your head, and all of a sudden there's another one. And then there's another fish more beautiful. And then there's another fish more beautiful. And you're sitting there going, wow, that's what heaven's going to be like. You're going to see this, oh, wow. And then you're going to say, oh, wow. And it's, oh, wow. And you're experiencing all these new things, these glimpses. And the first thrill of, like, during snorkeling, the first time you see it is probably the most awesome time. And heaven is going to be first awesomes all the time. Now think about that. First awesomes all the time. I had a heavenly experience at our conference. I was in the men's room at a place of where 10,000 people are, okay? And a person behind me said, Mike Fisher. And I said, well, I turned around, and it was my best friend from college, Derek Matsunaka, that I haven't seen for 46 years. I was his best man at his wedding. They stopped at our house on their honeymoon, and then I haven't heard from him since. And I wept. He was my best friend, and he taught me how to study, how to be a good student, and I taught him how to have fun. That was a God thing. It was a miracle. With 10,000 people, and then he noticed me. I've kind of changed, you know. And you know, I was probably 100 pounds lighter, you know. But you say, wow. Then that was a heaven experience. That's what heaven's going to be like, folks. Yeah, you know, somebody's going to say, Mike Fisher, and you turn around. Oh, I remember you in high school, you know. I remember you here. Heaven's going to be awesome. The relationships and everything. I want want you to get a better view of heaven this morning. I want us to go to heaven. Let's all turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. The pictures that are for heaven don't do it justice, okay? That picture there is a beautiful picture, but it's not heaven. But we need to experience it. What are we going to see? What are we going to do? What are we going to enjoy? What task are we going to do? You know, Revelation 19, verse 6. Come and go to heaven with me right now. Huh? Just put on your divine glasses and let's get a feel for heaven here. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, and says, I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. Can you catch that? Wow. That's what the conference was. It was, wow. Crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory for the marriage. That's another picture. What are one of the greatest times you've had on this earth? When you go to a what? A wedding. And heaven is going to be a wedding. We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. And you can't get any better than that, okay? On this earth, okay? So he calls getting to heaven. A marriage of the Lamb has come. And it says, and his bride has made herself ready. And the angel said to me, write this. It's heaven. Woo! Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage. What's the next word? How many of you like to eat? We're going to eat in heaven. I thought this. I was talking to Sunday school class this morning. I said, we're going to eat in heaven and we can just keep eating. We won't get fat. That's pretty good. Don't you hate it when you're eating and you get full? And we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's out of this world. And he said unto me, these are the true words of God. Verse 11, drop down to verse 11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes wars. Verse 12. His eyes, catch this, are like the flame of fire. Wow. And on his head are many diadems, crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. Wow. Huh? That's majestic. That's almighty. That's too much. Verse 14. And the armies of heaven. That's us, folks. We've been raptured and we're coming with him. That's us. That's you and me. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. If you like horses, horses are going to be there. Okay. And you realize, man, this is us. This is just too much. Drop down to verse 19. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies. This is the last battle, Armageddon, at the end of the tribulation, gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his armies, us with Jesus. Verse 20, and the beast was captured, and with the false prophet, you have the Antichrist, the beast, the false trilogy. Who is its presence had done the signs which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two throw. Wow, my dear wife. She gave me a half-used water bottle. Okay. He gave the beast and captured with the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs on by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown. What's next word? That's hell, folks. Do you know people that you know that don't know Jesus are going to be cast alive into hell? Let it touch you. Okay. Into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. It's just terrible. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon. Catch all these names here. That ancient serpent. That's from the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. Who is the devil and Satan? Do we know who this person is? And it says, and bound him for 1,000 years. This is the kingdom. This is the millennium. The word millennium means 1,000. It's a 1,000-year kingdom on earth after the tribulation. Jesus has come in the second coming and destroyed all evil and sets up a kingdom, and people will be there and live and have life on this earth with King Jesus for 1,000 years. Okay, let's keep reading. And he said, for 1,000 years, and threw him into a pit, threw Satan into a pit, and shut him and sealed him it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Now, I don't understand all of that, but I just believe it. Why does God do this? God puts a kingdom on earth. Satan's gone. They just have their flesh and the world, and they have King Jesus that rules with a rod of iron for 1,000 years on this earth. All I know is with Jesus' rule as king, as ultimate authority, evil's going to be put down on every point. The lamb will lay down with the lion. It will be a very beautiful place on earth, this earth. At the end of this beautiful, perfect world, will people still forsake God and follow evil? Yes, yes. Aren't you glad you're following God? You're one of the few. You need to get excited about yourself. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to follow. And these people in a perfect 1,000-year kingdom with King Jesus personally there won't do it. It's wild. Verse 4. Then I saw, chapter 20, verse 4. Are you with me? Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. And I saw the souls of those have been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. These are martyrs. And for the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast and its image, they refused. They stood for God. They were killed. And had not received the mark on their forehead or in their hands. Catch this next part. I have this in large print. They came to what? Life. Wow. Do you mean to tell me that the people who have died all the years of time, all the time, all the way to Noah and Adam and all of those, are going to come alive? Yes. Is that cool? You realize, wow, all the ones that have died believing in Jesus of all ages will come alive. And that's wild. And reign with Christ for what? Now, this is the millennium. This is the millennium. Somehow all the believers of all the ages, of all races, of all times will come alive and rule and reign with Jesus from heaven to those ones on earth that are living there that came through the tribulation, and King Jesus will be on earth, so we'll be ruling and reigning. There's only one verse that says anything. It says, if you've been faithful, in a little bit, you'll reign over 5 cities. If you've been faithful to work for God, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus and love people and serve people and give and care and help, you'll be ruler over 10 cities. Is that what it says? I don't even know what that means. But it seems like it means something in the millennium, that we will rule and reign with Christ on this earth. Now we'll be in glorified bodies somehow coming up and down, and we won't be on earth, but we'll rule and reign with Him somehow. Say wow with me. That's a big wow. I don't understand it. But it's going to be great. And that's the millennium. That's just earthly stuff. That's a thousand-year millennium, and we're going to come alive. Verse 5, the rest of the dead, the ones that didn't know Jesus from all ages, did not come to life until the thousand years were ended. This is the first resurrection, the believers. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Catch this. Over such the second death, that's hellfire, has no power, but they will be priests. Catch that. Will be priests, spiritual priests, helping people of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. And everybody said what? Oh, that's that. I want that. That's going to happen. Verse 7, chapter 20. And when the 1,000 years ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog up in Russia, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. They're around Jerusalem. They're warring against God. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. We win. Satan loses. This whole thing. And the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they surrounded and consumed. Verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, the eternal punishment, where the beast and the prophet, false prophet are. I want you to know they don't burn up, they just keep burning. Remember, the hell does not end. Hell is eternal. If it had an end, that'd be wonderful. But hell, they're going to burn forever, torment forever, punish forever. And they will be tormented, continuous tense, day and night, forever and ever and ever. That's why we tell people about Jesus. We win. Chapter 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. How many people do you know that are unsaved? That needs to touch us. Heaven needs to touch us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But hell needs to touch us. Oh, man. As the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man realized he was in hell forever, and he says, send Lazarus to my brothers and tell them not to come to this place. Somebody tell them. Revelation 21, verse 1. Everybody look there. Everybody look there. Andy's going to come and read this section to you. Andy.
If you would, stand with me as we read God's Word. Starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Drop down to verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will all the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thank you. You may be seated.
Isaiah 65, verse 17. Look at it here. Isaiah 65, verse 17. It's a great verse. It says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth." Okay? That's heaven. "The former things will not be" what? Catch it. Pretty plain. "Well, will I remember anybody on earth, or any problem I had on earth, or any sin I did on earth?" The answer is what? No. You won't remember your neighbor that was mean to you. Okay? And it says, "Nor will they come to your mind." Now, that's a big statement. That's a big statement. You wonder, "Oh, wow, I have some negative things here on earth. And when I see my loved ones in heaven, or see someone that I quite didn't get along with in heaven, will I remember any of the bad stuff?" And the answer is what? No. That's a great verse. "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered." That's wonderful. It makes heaven heaven. "Nor will they come to mind." I just wanted you to look at that. Let's jump back and look at what Andy read here for us to show us this, to realize what's going on here. I just love Revelation 20:20-21 there. It just hit me in my study that it's going to be the our earth right now and our heavens right now, all the planets and solar system, galaxies and everything, going to be wiped away. Billions of light years of stuff. Amen. And then there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. I don't understand all that. I just thought we was going to go to heaven. But there's going to be a new what? Earth. Is our earth pretty nice here? Huh? Pretty nice. Pretty nice. I enjoy, I have a garden, and I have pumpkins in my garden this big. Everybody say, "Oh, there, you're a good gardener." No, I just got good ground. Okay. Wouldn't it be great in heaven that we get to plant some seeds? I don't know what we're going to do. And there will be no weeds. There will be, right now I have tomatoes, and some varmint is eating all of my tomatoes. Wouldn't it be great to plant? I have tomato plants that are 6 feet tall. Okay. They're all falling over. Okay. The pumpkins are growing all over them, everywhere. Okay. Wouldn't it be great to realize that we have a new earth with perfectness, unending perfectness, like the Garden of Eden? I don't have a clue what it's going to be like. Not a clue. But I want you to know, if you think that you're not going to enjoy and be busy and productive and active in an earth worshiping God, serving Jesus, reigning with Him, you're missing the boat. And He's given us a beautiful earth right now that we enjoy. Huh? Wonderful. Wonderful. And now it has fallenness all around us and aging all around us. And we won't have any of that. It'll be perfectness and unending perfectness. And we'll realize, wow, That's going to be pretty cool. A new heavens, chapter 21, the new heavens and a new earth coming down. It's a city. God's there, verse 3. Verse 4, it's wonderful himself. Verse number 6, you thirsty are going to drink from the water of life. We're going to eat from the tree of life and drink the water of life. Do you think those are going to be good meals? That's going to be awesome. And then verse 24, look at verse 24. By its light will the nations walk. Somebody's in a nation and somebody's walking. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. I don't have a clue what that's saying. But it is kings of earth. There's going to be some type of activity there. And it is wonderful. And chapter 22, verse 1, there's a river of life of water down the middle of the streets of the city. We have cities and streets. And the tree of life's there. And we're going to eat each month has got a new fruit comes out. There's time and forever, and I don't have a clue what's going on, but it's going to be great. And you're going to have activity. You're just not going to be inactive with nothing to do, twiddling your thumbs, sitting there. No, there's going to be, and it's going to be wonderful. And at the end there, verse 4, chapter 22, verse 4, we're going to worship Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. His name's going to be written on our foreheads. He owns us. We are His kids. We're His family. We're part of Him. And we're going to rule. We're going to reign with Him forever. Is that wild? And you realize, that's I want to be there. I want you to go home from this saying, I want to go to heaven. I'm ready. It's a wonderful place. Revelation 22 verse 12. Look at it. Revelation 22 verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense, my payment with me, my reward, to repay each one for what he has done. We need to be busy serving Jesus right now. You need to be taking up your cross and following Jesus every day. You need to sacrifice for Him. You will be mistreated, but you'll be rewarded in heaven. And you'll give up stuff down here to gain stuff up there. This is not the life. The better life is to come. Verse 14, chapter 22, verse 14. Everybody look at it. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. We're going to eat from it. And that they may enter the city by the gates. There are cities and gates. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and they always put liars, and everyone who loves to practice a lifestyle of evil, falsehood. No hypocrites going to heaven. No person living sinfully and a practice of it is going to heaven. And that's heavy. But we have a right because of Jesus, because of what He did for us, because He cleansed us with His blood, saved our sinful souls. Verse 17, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's us, says, come. Let the one who hears say, come, come, Jesus. We're going to heaven. Let the one who is thirsty. Hope you're spiritually thirsty. Can you wait to get to heaven and enjoy all that He's got for us there? And, it is wonderful to have that thirst and to come there. And let the ones who desire to take the water of life without price, you don't have to pay for it, it's given to you. Can't wait. Can't wait. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Everybody just look up here. Everybody look up here. The text is on the wall here. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's heaven. It's going to be too much. It's going to be better than you can ever think or surmise or what we're going to do. And he's got a plan for us. And if he described it, we still couldn't understand it. I just want you to know, heaven is worth it. Heaven is worth denying everything on this earth. Heaven is worth sacrificing. Heaven is worth being righteous, denying our flesh, resisting the devil, resisting temptations, and putting him first, not our stuff or our sports or everything else. God first. Yeah. You realize, wow, it will be worth it all. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, when we know Jesus, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. I want you to know, you're going to know your loved ones. You're going to know your family and friends that go to heaven. You're going to recognize them. You're going to have new bodies. And it's real. I had a funeral here yesterday. Had a dead body, Lois Smith, laying right here, and all of her family. They were so excited that one day they're going to see her again. And they believed it. And the Bible says we're going to see them, we're going to be with them, we're going to recognize them, and it's wonderful. We don't have a clue what else is going on, but there's going to be some recognizableness, and we're going to know them, and we're in new bodies, and it's wild. Just like my friend saw a 46-year-old body that he had seen before and recognized me. I'm amazed. He said, "Mike, you haven't changed. That means I've been fat all these years." Okay. We're going to worship him. We're going to be alongside of the angels. We're going to be alongside all the believers of all the ages, of all locations, of all nations, of all people. Huh? It's going to be awesome. We're going to worship him. We were with 10,000 people last week worshiping Jesus. It was awesome. And that's what heaven's going to be. We're going to worship him. We're going to sing. Revelation chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of all the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy." And then he says, to complete this, "All nations will come and worship you, and your righteous acts have been revealed." They'll all know you. We'll know God. We'll be with God. We'll enjoy God. And we'll be right with him, one and one. At the conference there, I could see John MacArthur way up there, you know, about 1,000 feet, you know, and they had screens, I could see him. But he was there. Is that right? And I'm going to be with Jesus. And I'm going to worship him. And I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to reign with him. And heaven will be awesome. There'll be no time for just sitting around and having eternal idleness or nothing to do. We'll have a job. Did they have a job to do in the Garden of Eden? They all had jobs. We'll have jobs. I don't understand it all. In a perfect world, how can you have a job? God's got it all figured out, and you're going to be eternally fulfilled and satisfied, and it's wonderful. And he's got it all there. One person says, "God, we'll just help God make blossoms and stars." Ever thought about that? That's wild. Charles Spurgeon said, Charles Spurgeon, who gave much thought to being servants in heaven, wrote, "What engagements we may have throughout eternity are not told, because we have enough to do to fulfill our engagements now. But assuredly, we shall be honored with earnings of mercy and tasks of love fitted for our heavenly being, and and it shall be one of our greatest delights while seeing the Lord's face to serve Him with all of our perfected powers. He will use us in the grandeur economy of the future manifestations of His glory. He shall find a place of bliss. We shall find a place of bliss and joy in constantly serving Him who has raised us from the dead. Amen? You realize, wow, it's going to be great. And there will be no boredom. We're going to worship Him. We're going to serve Him. We're going to reign with Him. We're going to be satisfied. We're going to be enriched. We're going to create. We're going to be have accomplishments set, goals fulfilled, glorify God. Can't wait. Heaven. Heaven's coming. The greatest part about heaven is Psalm 73, verse 25. Jesus is going to be there. The best part about heaven, Jesus is going to be there. And it's wonderful. Psalm 16, verse 11. With Jesus, it will be unending, eternal fulfillment of fullness of joy, and at thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. Can't wait. Heaven. 1 John 3, verse 2. Says, when you have all of this about heaven, what kind of person are you going to be? Well, heaven's going to be great. Can't wait. But we're still here. We're still here. What effect does it have on me? It says, because we shall see Him as He is, for everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. The only thing we're to do with heaven is, wait, can't wait, I'm ready, God bring it to pass. But then while we're thinking about that, we got to be people that are going to be pure and honest and holy and good. And we got to be Bible people. And we got to realize, I got to do right. I'm going to get rewarded for my sacrifice and my service and my surrender and my submission and all of that. I got to get at it. I got to be serving God down here, worshiping God down here. If you get bored with worship and serving God down here, you're in trouble. Go all out. It purifies himself. He isn't his pure. And lastly, hell is real. Hell is real. Put up next slide. Friends, don't let friends go to hell without sharing gospel with them. Since heaven and hell are equal in reality, and you're going to heaven and you know friends that aren't, it should spur you to realize, I got to share God with them. Real friends, don't let real friends go to a real hell. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Everybody, are you excited about going to heaven? I trust you're more excited. I never thought about it, preacher, but boy, it's going to be a great place. I thought it sounded sometimes pretty boring, but oh, it's not. It's going to be total satisfaction, total fulfillment, total pleasure forevermore, total joy. It's going to be awesome. Worshiping, serving, reigning with Christ, seeing Him, being with Him, serving Him, occupied, ministering for Him and other people, seeing other people, other believers, meeting with our loved ones. Heaven's going to be great. Let's be holy down here as we wait to become holy up there. Get serious about being holy. Get serious about dealing with your sins. Get serious about serving. Get serious about denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. Sacrifice, surrender, servanthood. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about down here. It's about up there. And then realize that lost people, friends, neighbors, family, colleagues, co-workers, classmates go to hell without Jesus. And hell is horrible, hot, and forever. And it never ends. Preacher, I needed this message. I need to get serious about some things I need to get out of my life and some things I need to get in my life, and I need to get serious about telling my neighbors and friends and family about Jesus, about heaven, and about hell. Can I see your hands? I trust you know. We don't just talk about heaven so it's just blesses us and we realize, oh, it's going to be wonderful. No, we got to get ready. We got to stay ready. We got to live ready. We got to be holy because we're going to a holy place. And we got to bring somebody with us. Lord Jesus, help each of us to be more holy because we know about heaven, and to be more concerned about the people we know real good because we know a lot about hell. Lord, challenge us with heaven and hell, the reality of it, and real people and real life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.